Another message from Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church in Fish Lake Valley. We're studying church history and creation at the same time. And what happened to mankind and the decisions that man did and the sin and corruption that got into the human race. We're studying the book of Genesis. Let's go back and recap on some of the things that we've done. First of all, the earth was not created in space and time, was it? The earth was created in eternity past. We don't know how old the earth is. In Genesis 1 and 1, it says, Barashith bara et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. It said, in one of the beginnings, God created, he had created and finished, complete. God doesn't make anything imperfect. He made a perfect earth and perfect heaven. It says, Barashith bara. Barashith means in one of the beginnings. Baith on the front of that is a preposition. And it's, there's a lot of stuff up here. Baith is like that in Hebrew. That's on page 88 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. It's in. What it means is in, just like the English word I am. Okay? And then it has another Rosh is in the middle of that word. That means the top. It means the top of something. It means the beginning of something. And that's on page 912 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, if you want to look that one up, all of you out there in the world. It said, in beginnings. There is no the there. It says, in beginnings, but it means one of the beginnings. In beginnings, he had created. Third person, masculine, singular, cow, perfect. That word bara there. And he said, he created. Now, this is a picture of the earth that we did the other day. Land was one and one piece of ground, and then water. The earth was not divided at that time. There were no continents. It was what you call Pangaea or Gondwana, as the archaeologists call it. This is before the continental drift, as the geologists say. The land was one piece of ground, and then the water was one. And here, above the earth, was a breathing space. And then up in the sky was waters. Waters, an ocean in the sky. It was like a big bubble, like a greenhouse. There was no rain or anything going on at this time, in the beginning. But God created everything out here, all of the universe first. And then it says, we et ha'aretz, and he placed the earth right in exactly the place where it should be, where it would support life. And then in Genesis 1 and 2, it says, we ha'aretz, we, conjunction, ha'aretz, and the earth. She had become formless and void. And it said there was a, it had become a chaos, tohu wabohu, in Hebrew. And then it said, Spirit God suffered over the earth. He mourned over the earth and the faces of the deep. Now, many theologians that don't know Hebrew, mainly, that don't read the Hebrew, think that God created everything in Genesis, the first chapter, in Genesis 1:1, that was all in time, that he created it in 6 days. But the creation of the heavens and the earth were not in time. They were in eternity past. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14:12-15 tells what happened to the earth. It says that Satan destroyed the earth as it was. Ezekiel and Isaiah. Let me get over here just a moment. Ezekiel, or Isaiah 14 says, in verse number 12, and this is in eternity past. That's not in time as we know it. The earth, when man is on the earth, is in time. We live here 6,000, 7,000 years, okay, on this earth.
Maybe. We don't know. The chronologies in the Bible that people have put down are not perfect.
But in Genesis, where God created the heavens and the earth, was an eternity past.
Now, what did God do in eternity past before he created anything? He wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life because he knew what he was going to do. That's what the Bible says. But before he created the heavens and the earth, he created something else. What was that? Spirits and angels. Spirits and angels were created back then. The spirits and the angels saw God create the heavens and the earth. And all of this now is not in space and time. Time has not begun yet. It's eternity past. And look at, in the world, as you see, eternity, there's a lot of eternity and comparatively very little time that we live in. This chart here, in eternity past, and there's going to be an eternity future. And all time is a marked off piece of eternity. How long is this here, between here and the cross? Maybe 4,000 years or so. Abraham lived over here. Noah lives here. Okay. Adam is over here. Adam had probably 1,000 children. A woman, scientifically and medically, can have 1,000 children if she lived long enough, because there's enough eggs in her ovaries to have 1,000 children. Now, Eve probably had 1,000 children. Her daughters may have had thousands of children. I don't know. But we know that the earth was very populated by the time the flood came, don't we? Here. So back here in eternity past, let's see what happens. What does God write down to Isaiah the prophet? He said, O star of the morning, O Hallel, is what the word is there in Hebrew. O star of the morning. And the translation that Jerome gave it was Lucifer. Lucifer, which means light carrier. Originally, Lucifer was a light carrier. He lit up and he was the administrator over the creation of God. How art thou fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, O Hallel, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to earth. You have weakened the nations. And of course, it says that we have, now let's look at this again in a different way. There are three groups of angels. Michael was over one of them, Lucifer was over one of them, and Gabriel was over the other group. Gabriel is over the information realm. He transfers knowledge. Inside of this, angels have form, don't they? You see angels. I mean, there may be angels here right now, but they materialize. They go between dimensions. There are 10 dimensions at least, but angels go between those dimensions. We are stuck in this dimension, within three dimensions. Now, in this dimension, here's the information. Here's the spirit world. Michael is over that, and Lucifer is over the material creation of God. How he weakened the nation is that he took approximately one-third out of Michael's, one-third out of Gabriel's, and one-third out of Lucifer's went with him. If you have a guardian angel, which we do, the guardian angel is out of material, over the material realm of God. Anytime somebody gets false information or demonic things, one-third of the demons, or the spirits, became demons. They rebelled against God. Now, these demon forces work in those three realms. These were all present when God created the heavens and the earth. And it's all in eternity past. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And the stars of God, there are my angels. And I will sit in the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. If you, according to this description here, and it is correct, if he went to the northest part of the earth, to the North Pole, and went straight up past the atmosphere that we have, the first heaven, past the stars and everything, up into the abode of God in the third heaven is where God's throne is. We have never seen that. They don't have a telescope that good. I mean, they find stars out there. Alex came up here, my friend, and he put up a big telescope, and I saw stars that I never saw before. And he named all of them, and he showed me galaxies out there. Galaxies that would be just like a blur. And in that galaxy, there is a sun there, and then all kinds of stars around that galaxy. Well, all of that was here when Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel, and all of the other myriad of angels were there, and the spirits. Now, spirit is different than angels because it does not have a form, it is not clothed, it doesn't have a body. Angels are triune in nature like God. We are triune in nature. God makes, I mean, animals are triune. They're a trinity. Spirits are not. They're dual. They're very powerful. They're supernatural. If you said in your heart, I will ascend above the heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit in the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north, and I will descend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High God. Elyon, Elyon, Elyon. Nevertheless, I'm going to thrust you down to hell. Now, over here in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, it tells the same story in a different angle. Ezekiel 28 says, you had the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. God does not create reprobate things. Okay? He does not create reprobate. God creates things with a volition, a will. And the angels had a will. And it says, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, and where you were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, there's two Edens in the Bible. As far as I can understand, both of them are on earth. Eden, Eden means dainties, it means a throne room, it means a palace. So the first Eden was occupied by Lucifer. The second Eden was occupied by Adam and Eve. Okay? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. And then let's go down. You were the anointed cherub. Now, what is a cherub? A cherubim is the Hebrew word, cherubim. A cherub is an angel with wings. Not all angels have wings. There are seraphim, teraphim, and there are cherubim. Cherubim has have wings. It tells us that in several places. So Lucifer had wings. You were the anointed cherub who covered, who was the administrator. I placed you there on the holy government of God, of the holy mountain of God. You walked amidst the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created. God did not create him, Satan. He became Satan. Until unrighteousness was found in you, by the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. You sinned. And you, I have cast you away from the throne of God as profane. Profane. Imperfect. From the mountain of God, I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. Now, those verses cover a period of time in eternity past. Man wasn't here. Man was not created. Man was in the mind of God. Man took the place of Lucifer. When God put man in the garden, he said, you are over the throne. You guard the garden. You guard, you take care of all the animals. And he created them to be his companions. He said, you do this. You guard it. Keep busy. And then he told him to do only one negative thing. He told him to do all this good stuff. He said, eat everything you want there. Do whatever you want to do. But what? Don't take from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, Adam was going to learn everything. Good. Tov is a Hebrew word. Agathos is Greek. He was going to teach him everything good. But when he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he became evil. He became Arum, it says. He became a thief. He became a liar. He became a killer. He became dishonest, deceitful, and wicked. Now, God put man in the garden. In Genesis 1:26, we studied. We're kind of going back over what we've studied so far. And I try to do this because sometimes people out there haven't been to these other classes. And so we have to gather up all that information before we can go anyplace else. Genesis 1:26 says God is going to replace Lucifer. Lucifer's still out there. He's got access to things. God tells him to guard the garden. Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Now that word image there, it means spiritual image. The Holy Spirit. Man is triune. He's spirit, he is soul, and he is body. And God said, let us make man in our spiritual image. And according to our blood flowing likeness, the word dom is in that word. The word dom means red and it means blood in Hebrew. He said, let us make man in our blood flowing likeness. Now, so he's going to make man in his spiritual likeness like the Holy Spirit. He's going to make man in his physical likeness like the Son of God. And Christ walked in the garden. The pre-Adamic Christ or Jesus walked in the garden. Jehovah walked in the garden. Now, the word Jehovah is something that Jerome came up with when he translated the Bible from Greek into Latin. And then we had it translated into English. King James came up with it. The word Jehovah comes from the Hebrew word that looks like this. All right. Jehovah. And that comes from a verb. It's not really so much a name as it is a verb. And Jehovah means he who shall become. Now, in the Old Testament times, we see Jehovah appearing to man. In the garden, he appeared to him. After, in the second chapter here, we start seeing the word Lord God. Lord God. The word Lord God means Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim appears to man. Now, in John 1:1, Genesis 1:1 goes back in eternity somewhere. But John 1:1, it says, N R K N O L O H O Logos, Kai Ho Logos Ain Tho Tos N R K in beginning. The word there is singular. Only God existed in R K. In the beginning kept on being the Word, is what it says. And the Word kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. When Jesus was on the cross at Calvary, as you see up there in that picture, that's Jehovah being crucified. He was God on that cross. And he was man on that cross. It says, in beginning kept on being the Word, the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah, or the Word, kept on being God. John 1:14 says, Kai Hologos Arkthogenetho. And the Word, flesh, he became. So in space and time, Jehovah existed back here. Jehovah even walked with Adam in the garden. But he was in his pre-incarnate form. Pre-incarnate means before he became flesh. He was there. But when the Holy Spirit covered Mary and impregnated her with God, literally, she gave man, or Jesus, a form. Now, when a man and a woman come together in marriage, and a woman gets pregnant, the blood in the woman does not come from her, or the blood in the child does not come from the woman. It comes from the man. All right? That's the man's blood. And I have three children, and all of my three children are sinners. Okay? Because of me. Because the blood that I put into those children is the sin element. It's the infection of sin in them. Their mothers do not pass on the sin nature to the child. Okay? There's a book up here called Chemistry of the Blood by Dr. M.R. DeHaan. It tells you all about that. I've had a lot of doctors in my classes over the years, haven't I, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. A lot of doctors. Just all over the place. They say, I make them think. They say they like to come to my class because they think. I make them think. Well, this one was Dr. Susan Wynn, and she was a head of anesthesiology at two hospitals, and she's a genius. And she was in my class, and I said what I just said then, and she just looked like this to me when I said that. The mother's blood does not go on the child. It's the father's blood. She went back home and she called every professor that she knew. She had been educated in Cedars-Sinai in New York. And she called all the other doctors and all the other professors and she asked them, where does the blood of the child come from? You know what they said? From the father. That's where the infection of sin is in the world. Now, because of that little medical, what we might call fact, Jesus Christ could be born without sin because he had no earthly father. His blood came from God. He impregnated himself into Mary, and Mary was just a woman. She is not some holy. Any woman, if God would have impregnated them, if they'd had 10 children, they would have brought forth Jehovah, or God in flesh. He picked her out. She was a virgin because the Bible in Isaiah 7:14 said she would be a virgin, should conceive, etc., bring forth a child. We see all of these miraculous things that God did. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father. And King James is a whole lot different, this, but it says there in the original language in Greek, he led himself out. God led himself out of eternity into space and time to save us from our sins. He became our relative. God became our relative. In Romans it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of eternal life is through what? Jesus Christ our Lord. If you go into the Muslim world, in the Catholic world, wherever you want to go, they're all working their way to heaven. They're doing something to get there. But Jesus paid it all. Jesus is our only foundation. He is the one that saves us. He's the one that keeps us saved. He's the one that left the throne of God in eternity and was born in a little old town in the land of Canaan or Palestine, in that little old city of Bethlehem. And the first thing that happened, Satan's man on the throne, which was Herod the Great, tried to kill him. He had to flee down. Gabriel told Joseph, take him down to Egypt. And he took him down to Egypt. And then when Herod died, he said, take him to Nazareth, where they were. Now, the Bible said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, the Messiah, the HaMashiach. It said that he would be raised in Nazareth, because Joseph, and by the way, what was Joseph? What was his occupation? A little different. What was he? Marilyn, you remember? Sharon, you remember? What was Joseph? He was a stonemason. A stonemason. Every term that Jesus uses are stonemason terms. There was very little carpentry done. They made, you know, they didn't build houses out of wood. So he's not out there driving 16-penny nails, building a house or anything like that. The only thing that they did, they built furniture and they built plows and things like that. But Joseph was a stonemason. And of course, if you were a stonemason and you went down into Egypt, do you think you'd have a job to do down there? Since they're building all these monuments constantly. And then he went back to Jerusalem, or not Jerusalem, but Nazareth. And up there they build houses in the Middle East are built out of stone. Jesus said that I was a stone that the builders rejected. He also said that he was a cornerstone. I know a lot of people say that Jesus founded his church upon Peter, but he didn't. He said, you are Peter, a little rock, but upon this gigantic foundation stone, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. And boy, the gates of hell have sure been after her too, all these times. God said, let us make man in our image, in our spiritual image, and our blood-flowing likeness. And then what man was going to do, he's going to rule over the fish of the sea. He's going to rule over every creeping thing on the earth. He's going to be the administrator of God's kingdom on the earth. And that was in the time of innocence, before man ever sinned. Before he ever sinned. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for this message and for watching over us this day. I send it out for your honor and glory, to feed your sheep, to found them in the truth on a firm, solid foundation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.